कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा मनचारी जमुना तीरा मनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा बोल तगोर हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। येन चैवाभिपन्नोयम् प्राणै प्रियतमैरपि जनसद्यो वियुज्येत किमुतान्यैर्धनाधिभिः। येन चैवाभिपन्नोयम् प्राणैर्प्रियतमैरपि जनसद्य विमुच्येत किमुतैरन्यधनाधिभिः। येन चैवाभिपन्नोयम् प्राणैर्प्रियतमैरपि जनसद्यो वियुज्येत किम्मुता अन्यैर्धनाधिभिः। माताजी, ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, येन पुल्ड बाय सच टाइम च एंड एव सर्टेनली अभिपन्नः ओवरटेकन आयम दिस प्राणैः विथ लाइफ प्रियतमैः विच इज मोस्ट डियर टू एवरीवन अपि इवन दो जनः पर्सन सद्यः फोर्थविथ वियुज्येत डू गिव अप किमुत अन्यैः व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ एनी अदर थिंग धनादिभिः सच एस वेल्थ हॉनर चिल्ड्रन लैंड एंड हाउस। ट्रांसलेशन, हूएवर इज अंडर द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ सुप्रीम काला इटर्नल टाइम मस्ट सरेंडर हिज मोस्ट डियर लाइफ एंड व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ अदर थिंग्स सच एस वेल्थ हॉनर चिल्ड्रन लैंड एंड होम। पर्पट, a great Indian scientist busy in plan making business was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the planning commission. And he had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India and its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property and honor due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influence of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universe due to the influence of time, and no one could check them by any means. Even in our daily life, so many things come and go which we have no hand, but we have to suffer or tolerate them without remedial measure. That is a result of time. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yena Chaiva Vipannoyam Pranehi Pretamirapi Janasadhya Vyujyete Kimutanyair Dhanadibhi. Whoever is under the influence of the Supreme Kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life, and what to speak of other things, such as wealth, honor, children, land and home. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings and permission of the devotees to speak few words on this Amalam Puranam Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are reading the first canto, chapter entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. So Dhritarashtra, the name itself says that he is very attached to his nation, his land, his home. And his quitting means it is a big event. So Dhritarashtra is attached. The word Dhrita means holding. So when Dhritarashtra holds something which is not actually belongs to him, then it is considered attachment, considered illusion. But the Lord is also, many times we say, Dhrita Keshava Narahari Rupa. Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa. Keshava Dhrita Meena Sharira. So there also the word Dhrita comes. But him assuming or him taking this form, it's not something new he has taken, acquired and he leaves. They are Krishna's body and Krishna are non-different. So there, his identity with his body is actually glorious and it is not a product of illusion. But others, when they do what is not belongs to them, like Dhritarashtra is attached to his Rashtra, that is considered a pathetic situation. So Vidura comes here to deliver his own brother who is attached to his kingdom, his place, and he wants to give him the medicine of renunciation so that he will leave home. So in the previous verse, Mahabhagavad Vidura has said that Krishna in the form of the Kala have come. So he has approached all of us, Krishna approached all of us in the form of Kala. So then the question comes, Dhritarashtra may ask the question, okay, what I should do? Kala have come, the Lord have come in the form of time. What are we supposed to do? So now onwards, in order to drive the spirit of renunciation within the heart of Dhritarashtra, Vidura is speaking many, many verses. So Dhritarashtra is being induced by Vidura that we have to give up all this temporary attachment. So here he is saying, whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala must surrender his most dear life. What to speak of other things? So dear life, life is prana here. So why Vidura is speaking about prana? When Dhritarashtra asks what I'm supposed to do if the time approached me. So he's saying that you have to give up home, land, children, honor, wealth. So these things are dear objects of everybody's life. Dhritarashtra have really worked hard to hold on to his kingdom, his throne. And he worked very hard. Even though he was born blind, he was not entitled to rule the kingdom. But somehow or other, many time favored him. Pandus, his brother's untimely death, and his kids are very young. So he has to be, even though he's a blind, he became the king. And then later he developed a lot of plans to usurp the property of his brother's son and wanted to give to Duryodhana. So he did a lot of plans, a lot of endeavor to achieve all this land. Still he was, sometime was successful for some time and sometime he was failure. But still he was attached to all these things. So this is very hard-earned position. So it's very difficult to give up. So how to give up the home, land, children, honor, wealth? So in order to tell Dhritarashtra that you have to give this up, he is telling that pranaihi. That what to speak of your wealth, your palace, your throne, all these things, your own prana, your life, life force itself is going to leave you. So all these things which work hard, all this land, children, wealth, all these things generally protects people. People are protected by their land, money, their children, their prestige. These things are all a security for people in general. So how can I give up that which give me security? How anybody can give up that which gives them security? But Vidura has to drive the point that even though they are giving you security, but when time comes, these things which give you security will leave you automatically. You cannot, they won't give you any more security. So then he says, what to speak of these things, even the prana, which is the most important thing which gives you security, that itself will go away. So the prana, life force, is there within the body, and because life force is there, the person is living, and because he is living, he is working hard, and because he is working hard, then he gets money, wealth, children, wife, all these things. So if the prana itself is not there, and all other things are useless, and they are anyway not going to stay with you. So the example given, how prana is more important. If a rich person having a big house, big bungalow, and he has all wealth in it, bank balance, and all his near and dear are there, but if there is a great fire have engulfed that his house, and he is sure that everything is getting burnt inside, and even if he goes inside, nothing he can save. So in such scenario, a person will not enter into the house which is engulfed with fire. Why? Because he is very attached to his prana, his life. So if he goes inside, his life here will go, his life will be destroyed. So for that, he will not dare to enter into that house, even though all near and dear things are inside. That means what? Whatever is there inside the house, his own bungalow, house, all money and all, they are not as important as his prana. So the prana is, if the life force is there, he can even get all those certain things, he may get later also. The wealth he can earn more. But the prana is gone, everything is gone. So here Vidura is telling that, Dhritarashtra, you may ask me a question that the Kala have come and you are still attached to the home. How can I leave the home and all these things? They are my shelter. But I'll tell you, the most important thing for you, more than your land, your wealth and your prestige, is your life force. That life force, even that will not protect you, that will not save you, that will leave you when the time approaches you. So if life force itself is going to go away from you, Supreme Lord in the form of time have come, so better you leave all of them now. So that is a instruction. Kimutanyair dhanadibihi. So your life force itself is going to go. What is the use? What to speak of this dhana and etc. So this instruction Vidura is giving to Dhritarashtra in the palace after he has come from the pilgrimage, after meeting Maitreya. Pavaneshwar Prabhu very beautifully explained about the whole background of this this pastime. So after going all through all place of pilgrimage, he have come and is giving this instruction to Dhritarashtra. So even though he is speaking in the palace where all the Pandavas are also there, but this instruction is not meant for the Pandavas. Why? Because there is no need for him to speak to Pandavas, because they themselves, without him telling, they are already detached. Previously also the Bhagavatam spoke that because of their service to Mukunda, Yudhishthir Maharaj is not at all attached to all these things. So at the time comes when the Kala approaches, Pandavas, Yudhishthir and all, they will, without the presence of Vidura also, they will retire timely. So there is no need of Vidura to tell Pandavas, but he's this particular instruction what he's giving now is specifically meant for Dhritarashtra, because he's the person who is attached. So now he is explaining all these things to Dhritarashtra. So when Vidura is telling about Kala, he is saying that the Kala is a supreme personality of Godhead. So when Supreme Lord comes in the form of kala, time and tide wait for none, we say, you know. So the time cannot be stopped. You know? When it comes, it comes. Srila Prabhupada speaks about a great Indian scientist busy in plan making business was suddenly called, you know. He may be a great company owner, CEO, or anybody. Any time comes, he has to go. So, so one devotee was telling one drastic example of this, that one family went into to a picnic in some lake or river. So they were going in the boat, and in the boat, this just a small family, private boat, and you know, you go in the water body in the boat, you like to put your hand near the boat and just keep touching the water. So there's a small little girl, and they have husband, wife, a son and daughter. The small girl, she was putting her hand in the water, and out of a sudden a crocodile came and caught hold of this girl's hand, you know, in that water. So the boatman was rowing the boat, and this girl's hand was caught by a crocodile, and she was shouting, and immediately the parents caught hold of her body. Now there is a fight between the crocodile and his parents, you know. And the boat is getting shaken. So after some time they are fighting, crocodile if it catches, you know. So the boatman came and told his parents that, see, the scenario is such that the boat is shaking, and this is a small boat, that if this goes on, matter of time the boat will, you know, will drown. You know, the crocodile will pull along with that boat, will also drown. So you see now, all of us will be in the water and we'll be finished. And you say, I have my own family and kids. So the boatman was, you know, with his heavy heart, he's telling the parents that you can't do anything about it. That, you know, if you're still catching her, if you're still fighting with the crocodile, not only she will go, all of us, other kids, everybody will go. And mother is crying, father is crying. It's such a, you know, drastic scene, you can't imagine. You know, they are coming for a joyride, it become a really horrifying thing. So then the father and mother, you know, they have to, with heavy heart, the mother has to leave the child, you know, father has to leave the child. It's been, they had to offer the girl to the crocodile, you know. So then they had to, while doing so, they, you know, they remove whatever, you know, the girl is wearing, earrings and chains and gold ornaments. So such a, you know, just hearing only horrifying thing, you know. It's an example. So this may looks like it's happening with somebody, but this is a reality everybody might face any time. So any moment when this particular kala comes, nobody can stop. So what is this kala? Kala is energy of Krishna. In this world, kala we may speak, but it is difficult to see, you know. In this world, kala is perceived by certain actions. For example, in the olden times, kala is imperceptible. It is imperceptibly it goes on, moves on. So that kala is perceived in the form of, you know, a shadow. They install a post, and by the movement of the shadow, the sun moves. So the sun movement is a kriya, is action. By the sun's movement, kala is perceived, you know. So according to the shadow, whichever place it falls, then they say it is morning, afternoon, evening, like that, you know. When the sun shadow is very small, then it is unknown. When it is on the western direction, it is in the morning time. In the eastern direction, it is, you know, evening time. Like that, they understand the kala by the action of the movement of the sun. In modern times, we understand the kala by the movement of the needles of the clock, you know, when it goes tick, 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 that means kala is running, you know. Otherwise, kala cannot be perceived by our, you know, senses. It is very subtle. So, when that kala comes, that kala is an influence of Krishna. Krishna's Supreme Lord's one of the energy. So, he separates the temporary things from each other. So, in this world, we see there are many material things, they won't stay together. Because of the influence of time. Just like we hear the example in the ocean, there are two leaves comes together, and when by the power of the waves, they get separated with each other. So that kind of separation or destruction is inevitable, you know, by the influence of time. And why the separation is inevitable and why it is giving very pain to the heart of the people? Because everybody is attached to all these things, and inevitably time snatches all these things from them. So Krishna, in the form of this time factor, he snatches, and by nature the soul, everything, it doesn't stay together, it's temporary. But the jivas, living entity, by nature they are eternal, and by nature they are always wants to be happy and always doesn't want the change to take place. So when such kind of scenario they put in, it gives a lot of distress to them, you know. So the body is also product of matter. So he does it always. Prabhupada says about 6 changes in the body, you know, coming into being, staying for some time, producing byproducts, vanishing like that. So this is, the changes always take place. So this is always it's an uncomfortable situation for the jivas. So the living entity relate with other living entity through the medium of the body, and this body is a in between the body is a temporary thing, and it always undergoes changes, and it always undergoes deterioration. So ordinarily in this world everything is temporary, and the eternal living entity is living in this world, who deals with other living entities through the medium of body and other external things such as wealth, house, buildings and all these things. They are also temporary. So the eternal jivas have to deal with others through these temporary things. And the identity of the jiva, when it becomes this body and so on, then it gives an unnatural situation, and the fear creeps in. So Vidurashtra that bhayam agatam. You see, next verse is going to say that, you know, you are already, your fear is engulfed you. Why the fear comes? Because the eternal jiva is identifying with the temporary and body and other things. So this is a very very unnatural situation. So the eternal jiva, living entity, is dealing with the temporary things, and the relationship of this eternal jiva with everybody is through these temporary things, which undergoes changes, which undergo destruction by the influence of time. So that is a problem. So is that the jiva can be without all these things? So there is a possibility when the living entity stays without any material connection, that means just the spirit soul. So that is considered as a liberation platform, Brahman liberation, Brahman platform. So where the living entity merges with the Brahman, in that particular space there is no temporary association. So there can be, you know, there is no anxiety that I have to deal with something temporary or material. So this is, first is matter and matter. They come together, they separate. But there is no emotion because they are material things. Second scenario is that the jiva in the body, they are eternal, but they identify themselves with the body. So they accept these miseries, you know, as a matter of fact, you know. And they are always living a miserable life, you know. Politicians, big, Prabhupada speaks about the scientist, and he speaks about the India-Pakistan, you know, what you call partition, the famous part, infamous or famous partition, where people have to give up their land in within a matter of time. In one night, they decided, you know, Lahore belongs to Pakistan. Everybody has to vacate. A matter of time, big estates and everything is, you know, their wealth, everything has to be given up. That's a painful thing. Why? Because the jiva, even though it's eternal, is identifying himself with the body and other things. So it's a painful thing. So the material things, they don't stay together, you know, they have to be separated. And so, but there's no emotion, it's not a problem. But in jiva, who has emotions and, you know, feelings, when they're attached to this body, this kind of the time factor influences on them, it's a big misery for them, it's a catastrophe for them. And the third scenario is that when the jiva is freed from this body in the Brahman platform, there is no miseries, but there is some kind of happiness. And the fourth understanding is that Krishna and his pure devotees in the spiritual world, they are not dealing with the time, in a sense, the material time, Krishna in the material time. There is no question of any material separation or temporary, temporary arrangements. They are all eternal and happy. And there the separation happens is also a source of happiness. Why? Because there is no temporary things attached to there. Everything is eternal. Krishna's dham, Krishna's form, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's entourage, paraphernalia, all are eternal. So there is no question of any separation. There is a happy life. And separation also there, but that is also combined with the union. I was speaking in my last class also. In the spiritual world, separation is sweet. Why? Because it is always connected or with the union. Without union, separation have no meaning or no value. So, Radha Krishna or Gopis and Gopas, they are always with Krishna and they enjoy separation and the Vipralamba Bhava, because it is soon going to be complemented with the union, and the union is enhanced by the separation. So, because of the circle is going on, so there is always bliss. But in the material world, it is not like that. Separation means it's a harsh reality. You have to accept. There is no question that we are going to meet. The things are going to unite together. Even if they united, nobody knows who the other person is. You know, so the forgetfulness is there. So that is the highest understanding, fourth level. So there is four scenarios basically. The matter and matter, they stay together for some time and they separate. Second scenario is that the jiva with the body. Identifying with the body. So, the eternal jiva dealing with the temporary body which undergoes changes and destruction. Those are misery. And the third is that the living entity in the Brahman platform, where there is no connection with the matter at all. So, there is some kind of no separation. They are just together. But the bliss is not the natural bliss, because that is not the constitutional position of the jiva. And the fourth is that the spiritual world. So we are stuck in the second level, the eternal jiva with the body. And in this scenario, we have no choice. We have to accept the reality that we are accepting this body. We are in this world. We have to deal with the body. But the body is temporary. The material world we are dealing with is also temporary. Not only it is temporary, it also gives misery. And we want to be happy. So Shastra, when they give instruction, it's not that they are pessimistic, they want us to be miserable in this world so that we'll achieve eternal happiness in the world outside. No, Shastras give us understanding, give us instructions how we can be happy in this world at the same time achieve perfection, eternal happiness after this life also. It doesn't, sometimes people are afraid of following dharmic principles, Sanatana Dharma, because they are afraid that my independence will be curtailed and I will be miserable, I won't enjoy life the way I want. No. Shastra actually teaches us how we can live happily in this world as much as possible, at the same time achieve eternal happiness. So, but the body is by nature, it is gives us misery. So that's why the Shastra is giving us the maximum way how we can balance both, lead a happy life here, at the same time achieve eternal happiness. So, without Krishna consciousness, when devotee or non-devotees, both of us are living in this world with this body, which is temporary and a source of misery. Whoever we are, devotee or non-devotee. But when a person becomes devotee, Krishna's devotee, understand the Shastras, like Vidura and others, even though they are in the second scenario, that the Jivatma with the material body, which is a source of misery, they know how to tackle that, and they know how not to be get influenced by them, and they know how to how to deal with the harsh reality, you know. So that is a very, very difficult situation where you have to be in touch with the absolute reality, Krishna, Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, which are all eternal, through this temporary body, which is not eternal, it's temporary. So that is actually a tricky situation. Because in the spiritual world, Krishna's energy, such as the gopis and Gopas, they are all Krishna's internal energy. So there is naturally they get attracted to Krishna. There's not a broad problem. And in the material world, the materialistic people, because of their consciousness of a material, so they are naturally attracted to sense gratification. They are also kind of, in one sense, happy, you know. Even traveling the local train, they consider there is like a happiness. You know, this is normal for them. So they are absorbed in, engrossed in sense gratification. So they are, this is a normal life for them. It's not so much, an anxiety in one sense. The anxiety is, their goal is very clear. I have to enjoy this body. But the devotees, when they take to devotion service, Krishna consciousness, they are in a dichotomy that they want to feel the eternal. They want to relate to the eternal Krishna, relate to the eternal Krishna's paraphernalia, dham, bhakti, process, through this temporary material body, which undergoes, is not meant for, actually meant for this particular thing. So there is always a tricky challenge. It's very difficult to, that's why it's sometimes it's difficult. So that's why Shastra is giving us a process by which how this material facility we have got, the temporary body, somehow or other can be related with the supreme spiritual energy, Krishna, his name, form, pastimes. Slowly, even though this material body is obstacle for us, between us and Krishna, because it's like eternal spirit, soul and Krishna. In between this material body is an obstacle which is full of, inauspicious things. So, but we have no other choice. Even though we say we are not this body, this is the only thing we have got. So this in-between thing has to be, has to be removed. But the removal is possible only if this is engaged in Krishna service. So that is a tricky situation. So that's why Dhritarashtra is suffering here, that even though he is eternal part and parcel of Krishna, in between his body means his attachment, is the extension of the body, family, and all these things. So this has to be, so his identity has to be changed from this body to his real eternal spirit soul. And even though the identity is changed, still he has to utilize this body. Through this body only he can actually realize that identity. In the first 6th chapter, Krishna speaks about the Atma Vijnana. But then one is knowing that I am not this body. And second thing is understanding that I am not this body. There's a big difference. So the understanding comes by the process of bhakti. So that's why Krishna has given this process bhakti, that this second scenario, what is scenario? First scenario is the body and body, matter and matter. This comes and goes, this happens everywhere we see. Second scenario is that jiva within the body, identifying with the body. So this whole world we are seeing outside. Third is the atma, spirit soul in the Brahman effulgence. Fourth is the spiritual world. So now the second level, we have to come to the fourth level. So in this second level, that we have to accept that we have this body, which is temporary. And how we can come from this platform to that platform is actually a tricky thing, which is not easily understandable. That's why when the materialistic people see the devotee, they don't understand. You are also like us only. You are eating, we are also eating. You are also wearing some dress, we are also different style of dress. It's okay. Same, you are also wearing some dress, we are also wearing some dress. But here the whole scenario is different. Why? Because that here the jivatma is actually doing every activity, even though it through this body, but the whole every activity is actually nothing to do with this material world or material body, directly related to Krishna. So that is the beauty of bhakti, the science of bhakti. So this is Prabhupada said, this ISKCON is founded. The process of bhakti is a science. It's not ordinary thing, it's a science. What is the science? That, in the laboratory, they take two ingredients, the iron can be turned into gold by some chemical process. So people can see these things, scientific things. Are similarly, this body is actually as a matter, but this can be spiritualized by a scientific process. That process is called bhakti, devotional service. So that bhakti, that is what is being presented in the Shastras, that what Krishna is presenting, that's what Acharya is giving us. So this process is not an ordinary thing, it's not a cheap thing, it is a great process that actually is a connecting force between these two things, two extremely opposite things, spiritual and material. So when you perform this devotional service, what happens is that the identity slowly is like a dissolving in an acid. If you put something, it gets dissolved. The body dissolves and the living entity emerges from this tabernacle of this body through the medium of body. Just like in a circus, You know, when the hunter goes to the forest, he is always afraid of the animals. He is very careful. If he catches the animal, lion or a tiger, if he is inattentive, it will catch him and eat him up. But when the same hunter catches the tiger or lion, you know, if he tames them and brings them to the circus company. In the circus company, people come to see the show. Oh, in some circus company, the most important show would be that hunter, the circus fellow, he tells the lion to open his mouth. And he puts his head inside the mouth of the lion, you know, and people come and see, you know, this is the most important item in this whole circus. So here the lion, which actually by nature it's a threat, you know, if lion closes his mouth, then he's finished. But now, ordinary for us, the lion or a tiger can kill us, finish our life in the forest. But now for this fellow, the lion and tiger, which destroys his life, by that he is making his life. When people come to see this show and give money, and this fellow takes a lot of money, and he is enjoying life through the money earned by putting his mouth inside the tiger's, lion's mouth, his head inside the lion's mouth. So this body is like a tiger and lion, which actually eats us. But when that is being used in a particular way, how that itself can give us life instead of killing us. Similarly, this process of bhakti is such that Prabhupada speaks about a snake when its fangs are removed. So say this particular temporary, illusory, obnoxious, problem-giving body and bodily life can be a source of liberation for us when it is utilized in Krishna's service. So that is a process of bhakti. So that's why Krishna is telling us that, you know, in whatever scenario, whatever situation we are in, that I will give you the same facility what I'm giving in the spiritual world to all my associates, the gopas, gopis and the other devotees, that I will give the same facility by what? That the particular, my energy kala is destroys everything here. But I got another energy, another shakti of me, bhakti shakti, swarupa Krishna, swarupa shakti. I will offer that to you, and that will do wonder that you won't be affected by the bodily miseries or the temporary miseries. So from this second scenario, we have to reach the fourth scenario. So Dhritarashtra has been given that gift by Vidura, even though Dhritarashtra could not utilize this opportunity fully. He was given Bhakti Mishra Jnana, by which he could not attain the fourth stage, but he could at least attain the third stage, you know. So, but for us, through this instruction, we can actually understand our fortunate position that even though we are in the second situation, like the other Jivas outside the world, but because of this particular key or a science, technology is given to us by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by which you can actually jump from the second position to fourth position. That is the grace of Krishna. And Krishna does it very nicely, very sweetly, without giving so much trouble for us. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktiya Parechati Tadaham Bhakti Bhakratam Ashname Prayatatmanaha. You know, so Krishna says you can perform this bhakti very easily. You know, other processes are very difficult. Nishkama Karma Yoga, you know, Jnana Yoga is very difficult, but bhakti is very simple, you know. Anybody can speak, anybody can speak about Krishna, understand Krishna, perform bhakti, chant Krishna's holy name, dance and kirtan. It's very simple. But only the thing what is required is that this particular Swarupa Shakti of Krishna, that is bhakti shakti, that is important, you know. So that bhakti is freely available, but one has to accept, you know. It's not easy for everybody to accept. But if it is accepted, it is very easy also. So, that is what Krishna is expecting. So, how we can approach Krishna? Everything in this world, which we are seeing all around, is material things only. But Krishna says that if you offer even this material thing, I will accept it. But there, bhakti has to be there. No. So, that is the ingredient Krishna is telling. So, this patra pushpam is not available for Krishna. Impress somebody, how we can conquer somebody's heart. A rich man can conquer the heart of a poor man by giving some, you know, 10 rupees. If he gives also, he is happy because, you know, he has nothing in his hand. So by giving something the other person doesn't have, he can impress him, we can conquer him, we can actually impress him. But can Krishna be conquered by anything? Even Krishna says patram pushpam phalam toim. No, because Krishna is the proprietor of all these things. We can't impress Krishna by all these things. We can't approach Krishna. So what is the way we can approach Krishna, who is spiritual, who is completely spiritual? We are material, we are in the material world. So only thing what we have in our hand is the body and the things. So Krishna is saying patra pushpam is sufficient for me, but this is Krishna already have. So how can you impress Krishna? How can you give something to Krishna? We can give Krishna something which he doesn't have. Okay, maybe Krishna doesn't have patram pushpam phalam toyam. He has now, but sometime he will not be having all these things. That time I can give, you know, karotpati becomes roadpati, so a millionaire. So he has a lot of money. Tomorrow when he becomes roadpati, I can give him 10 rupees, I can impress him, I can conquer him. But Krishna, you can't do that also, because he is, he is a lord for all the time, you know. Vrindavan has all, you know, trees and plants and creepers. Vrindavana Ramyasthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma. So it's always Chintamani Dhamma, it's not for one day, 2 days, 365 days in a year, you know. So all throughout this, Krishna always has all these things. He can't wait at given opportune moment when, you know, Krishna fast on Ekadashi day, I will, you know, he's hungry, I will give him something. No, he can't do that also, because Krishna is master for all the time. So you can't impress Krishna by your patram pushpam phalam toyam. Also, okay, Krishna is, you know, even though he has all these things all the time, but sometimes he also undergoes some kind of, you know, sometimes even a great millionaire, he has all the wealth, everything, but they become sometimes very restless and become very sad, you know, they keep dog, or sometimes the great rich man's son comes, you know, he has everything, but somebody gives a chocolate to him, you know, he is very happy, some affection or something. So can Krishna be sometime happy, sometime not happy? So when he's, even though yes, all those things, when he's not happy, that time I'll give patram pushtam. So I can conquer him, I can impress him. No, you can't do, because Krishna is Atma Rama, is all the time happy. He doesn't give any chance that, you know, this particular time I'm going to be unhappy, so that time you come and give patram pushtam. You can't do that also. So you can't approach Krishna with any of these material things. He is completely aloof from all these things. He is always happy, Atma Rama. So what way that we can approach Krishna? We can't understand, because the jiva cannot understand about spiritual thing, because he is completely engrossed in these material things. So only way we can understand about Krishna or spiritual things, unless Krishna himself reveals. So Krishna understood these guys are so bad, so I will reveal myself. What I don't have, you can give me, Krishna says. Only thing I don't have with me, which you can give me and impress me, is that I will reveal what it is. What is that? Tataham bhakti upakritam. Bhaktiya prechati. What I have, Krishna has everything. Only thing what he doesn't have is that bhakti for himself. So if you have that, if you can give me that, then what I will do is that tataham bhakti upakritam ashnami. I will eat, I will accept. So if rich person, if you offer him some, you know, 1,000 rupees, you know, this politician, they come outside and during the election time, you know, they go to the slum area and people offer garland to them and, you know, offer arati and kumkum. He will just smilingly accept the garland. But if he goes little, two steps later, the garland will be thrown in one corner, you know. He doesn't want, what garland you want, you know, he's a karotpati, most of the politicians nowadays with all this. So, they just take it, matter of, you know, for some reason they take it and put it in the outside. So put it in the corner without any regards for them. So is it that Krishna is asking patram pushpam, some other is asking out of love, affection? So he may not really need it, he may just throw it somewhere. So he doesn't need all those things, he's just taking it forever. So if somebody is like that, you know, how much people will be inspired to offer something to the politician, a rich person? You know, they know that this is going to be discarded. So our patram pushpam, Krishna really take it? So we may have some doubt. So Krishna want to destroy the doubt by saying that tataham bhakti upakritam ashnami aham. Like when you say, the Indian language becomes more, you know, when mother makes some food items in the home, kids, they know they don't eat all the time. They, you know, they say I will eat, but they don't eat many times. So mother sometimes become angry, you know, I will not cook today. And these kids become very upset. Oh, I won't get anything, you know. So they want to make sure the mother is cooking, and she is telling, I won't cook because you don't eat anything. Then the child is telling that, Main kahunga. Is it correct? And so every time he says, mother make, okay, you take prasadam, kahunga, kahunga. But when he understands that my mother may not even cook today, then what he says? I will eat. So when he use I, that become, Main karunga, Main huna, like when he say like that, then he understood, oh, this is really going to do. Mother become more inspired to cook that day. So here Krishna, Ashnami is sufficient. Main kahunga. Aham Ashnami. Krishna is telling that, do not understand that I am Lakshmipati, I am eternal lord of all, I have everything, that I don't want any of your thing. You may give me, I will take it and put it in a corner. No, Ashnami, I will certainly eat it. And not just I will certainly eat it, I am hungry for this. Ashnami, Krishna goes in ecstasy that, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Phalam I can eat, Pushpam how can eat? It's cauliflower, Somebody would, So Krishna is saying that I'm just like a person who is not eaten for years together, days together. He is so hungry and waiting for, if you give even a khichdi, he will just eat it, with two hands sometime, he's so hungry. Like that, I'm hungry for what? This bhakti upagartam, if you offer devotion, I'm hungry for that because I don't have that bhakti. So I'm hungry for that, offer me, I will immediately eat it. So even if it is flower, I will eat it. So that way Krishna is emphasizing aham bhakti upakritam ashnami. So two times he uses bhakti. Bhaktiya prayachadi. So the bhakti which is bhakti laden, the heart laden with bhakti, and the upakritam. What are the upakritam here? Patra, pushpam, phalam. These upakritams, they also should be laden with bhakti. Somebody may have bhakti in their heart, but while offering, you may not have a devotion, While offering also you should have bhakti. That the offering items should also be soaked with bhakti. Sometimes people eat some food items, they take some soft item and soak it in milk or some sweet syrup and eat it. So bhakti upahartam, your offering should be soaked with bhakti. If you give that, I am hungry for that, I will eat it, I will immediately accept it, I am running for that, I am waiting for that, As Draupadi gave that, shock, I ate it. And Bali Maharaj offered water while giving offering to me. I accepted so much of happiness. And Gajendra, he offered that flower in the precarious condition. I left my own Lakshmi and just came running without even understanding what cloth I'm wearing because I want to enjoy that. So Krishna says, I'll accept, I'll enjoy it. So that is the mercy of Krishna, that this bhakti is something Krishna is not just telling, like politicians will accept it, you put vote and you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But Krishna is actually waiting for that, In the Vrindavan pastime, Krishna is, even though he is Ishvara, that he is bothered about being Ishvara. He relinquished all these things and is hungry for gopis, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, affection, And Gopi Parandan Prabhu said in one class that Krishna is bored with being Ishvara. He is not bothered about being Ishvara, You have to do creation. You have to maintain. You have to destroy. Krishna says, I am busy with playing with my cowherd boys and I am busy going to herd the cows in Vrindavan. I don't have time for all these things. So Balaram, you take care of this creation and all this business. Balaram is saying, no, we have a plan to, today this particular gopi's house, we have to go and steal butter. So I can't, you can't tell me to go away. If I'm not there, you'll be caught. So Krishna is feeling, okay, then I can't leave you also. Who will do the business? Okay, Balaram tells, no problem. I will make arrangements. From Balaram, he expands. Sankarsana, Chaturvyuha comes, then from Chaturvyuha, Narayan, Vishnu comes, Mahavishnu, you take care of all those things. We are busy in stealing butter in Gopi's house, And Krishna is hungry, not just that, he's just playing, he relinquished all these things. And he is really planning and enjoying the butter churned by the Gopis. Tadiyeshu Tagyeshu Bhakter Jidatvam. Kartik Mas is approaching. So Krishna is actually hungry for that, And that is what he is expecting. So this Kala Shakti, Krishna's Kala Shakti is destroying everything here and destroys the body, gives misery for those who don't understand their real identity, that they are Krishna's servant. At the same time, Krishna, even though he is in one side, he is destroying everything through his Kala Shakti, So another Shakti called Swarupa Shakti, Krishna is actually nourishing the Jivas even though they are under the influence of Kala Shakti. So when these two things comes, when the Swarupa Shakti takes precedence, Krishna's Bhakti Shakti takes precedence, and it takes the living entity from this tabernacle of these bodily miseries, and they can tackle this Kala Shakti. So Dhritarashtra and Pandavas, what are the difference between them? Dhritarashtra is in the category of second category, like the materialistic person who is suffering through this Kala Shakti, is afraid. And Pandavas are in the same scenario, but they are not afraid. They are not at all influenced by this Krishna's destructive potency called Kala Shakti. But why? Because they are laden with the Bhakti Shakti. And that particular Bhakti is Krishna's gift, Krishna's, the Acharya's gift for us. When that comes, and the Jiva doesn't have a potency also, even if they have bhakti, they don't have any potency to give pleasure to Krishna. So, Krishna enjoys through his internal potency called Hladini Shakti. Krishna has many Shakti, Sandini, Samvit, Hladini. The Hladini potency is through which Krishna actually enjoys. And the Hladini Shakti is most important, you know. Samvit Shakti means the knowledge potency. A person may know that I have a great farm, you know, with so many trees and fruits. And he has a knowledge through the Samvit, and he knows through his Sandini potency, he actually owns that land. But even though he owns the land, he knows all these fruits and all these opulent items are there. But when he enjoys those fruits in his mouth, he actually relishes. So owning is one enjoyment, and knowing that I got all this orchard is another enjoyment, but actually eating, the rich person enjoys. So the Hladini Shakti is that which is the most important Shakti which gives pleasure to Krishna. So that Hladini Shakti is represented by the daughter of Rishabhanu Maharaj. So she holds that whole potency to give pleasure to Krishna. And the Jiva doesn't have that potency. But when the Jivas with the Bhakti, which is actually a representation of Srimati Rishabhanu Maharaj's daughter, when that bhakti of Jiva is very small, when it is added to Krishna's Hladini potency, and when she offers that to Krishna, Krishna becomes attracted to that, you know. So when Krishna was in another place in Dwaraka, he was speaking to the queens that I don't have any attachment for you, but because you resemble my beloved of Vrindavan, I have any affection for you, any attachment for you all. So Krishna cannot be attracted by any of our effort. But when our bhakti, which is a very small spark, when it joins with the fire of prema to Krishna, which is represented by the Hladini Shakti, then Krishna become attracted even to this. Krishna become hungry for this. Because Krishna cannot resist, like a drunkard cannot resist the liquor. Kami cannot say no to beautiful women. Similarly, Krishna cannot say he is addicted to that. Why? Because it is actually his beloved's energy, his pleasure giving potency. So Srila Prabhupada concludes the Bhagavad Gita in the last purport of the last shloka that when these living entities, when they perform bhakti to Krishna, they are reinstated in the pleasure giving potency of the Supreme Lord. So that's where Prabhupada ends with the very higher rasika purport, that we are in this scenario of material tabernacle, which is actually causes of all miseries. But when with this technology, this science which Prabhupada has given us, the Mahaprabhu has given us, when we take this and when we utilize this, when we practice this, when we perform this, actually, we can't imagine what kind of, from where we are going to where, we can't actually, we'll faint actually if we understand. So that is, that can happen only when we get the mercy of the Hladini potency. So through her grace, when we add our little thing, when this comes together, that become a great offering for Krishna. And Krishna, even if he wants, he can't say, he cannot have a heart to say no to it. He actually relishes and enjoys. And then when that happens, that is a festival of all the living entities, you know. So Krishna is waiting for that, and what Krishna is waiting for, we are given opportunity to offer that to Krishna, which is not having himself, which we can offer by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. So with these words I will stop now. Hare Krishna. Thank you for patiently hearing the basic things what I spoke. Hare. Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad. Any comments? Any? corrections. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Bhagavatam ki jai.